This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogie, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City at the Mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight. 323-622-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. And it's closing in on the end of the year. I notice most persons are not really concerned about Christmas holidays no more as we used to many years ago. I guess that we are finding out what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that, you know, eventually our lives would get played out. And most people now are just saying Christmas is for kids now. So let's just wish the kids them to have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. For each and one of us who are older, let's hug one another, let's greet one another. Let's share a plate of food together. Let's share some drinks together and just enjoy the holidays. Because like I said, you know, a lot of us are finding out that Halloween and Christmas and Easter and all of these stuffs aren't really what they were supposed to be. You know, many people say they are pagan, and the evidence proves that. So we're going to replace Christmas with something else, and I think we're going to replace Christmas with us loving and caring for one another. And I think that's the most important thing that I can say, because Jesus is love, and us as human beings, you know, I guess that if we want to be like Christ, if we want to be Christ-like, then we have to show love. If we're not doing that to our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, then we're not doing nothing at all. And I guess that's what Christ represents. And I think we're going away from that. We're going to gifts and, you know, what I want. And, what, you know, instead of someone giving you something, you know, that they feel they're giving you from your heart and you appreciate it. You know, that's what was Christmas all about. But it was also, like I said, it was something for us to worship the Christmas tree, you know, and we are not supposed to worship idols and et cetera, because it's not in our blood. And I guess we're coming to some type of realization now. Realization now to the truth, because like they said, Christ was not born on Christmas Day. You know, I was brought in by the Roman Catholic Church to give a specific date and et cetera. But all in all, just make sure that the kids have a wonderful time, you know, with a special gift they get for doing good. If the kid didn't do good, he didn't do good in school, he didn't clean up the house, he didn't do what his parents asked him to do, he or she, then they should not be given no special gift that they want. They should be given something that, you know, that you feel they deserve, you know, et cetera, because we don't want to spoil the kids.
My sister, yeah, she's watching, and she's saying, when Jesus was born, that was when the beginning of Christ to come. Hey, sis, what's up?
Okay. Today's topic, we're going to talk a little about FTX in a little 15, 20 minutes, just my two cents. And then from there, I talked about Edmund Moxie, late great Edmund Moxie of Jumbe Village, and his talks with the late great Minister of Tourism, Sir Stafford Sands, on how they were able to come to agreement to start small businesses over the hill, Grandstand, where they let Bay Street close down at 5 o'clock, and then close down the cruise ships and cruise ports, and they would allow the tourists to come mix and mingle over in Bayonetown, Grandstand, Mason Dixon, et cetera, because there were many nightclubs and it was very prosperous. And there were thousands of small business was created at that time. And I want to talk a little bit more about that as the show begins. But I want to talk a little bit about FTX, just a little bit. You know, this is my point and this is my view. And you notice last week, every time I say something on the airwaves, for some strange reason, early next week, I'd see something I said on the show actually comes to fruition. You know, last week I mentioned the fact that when it comes to the collapse of FTX, and many people were blaming the Bahamas on the collapse. You know, they're figuring out the headquarters was set up in the Bahamas, and it's our fault. But like, I know by reading newspapers over the very few years and getting to find out how government run, how agencies run, how international agencies run. And I know for one that the U.S. of A, United States of America, they are the police of the world. When it comes to the financial sector of this part of the Western Hemisphere, the U.S. government controls that. They know what's going on with companies that enter the jurisdiction of the Western Hemisphere financial sector, which the U.S. government's controlled. Each and every country that's a part of the Western Hemisphere, that's basically the Caribbean countries, Bahamas, Jamaica, et cetera, are part of this. Their financial information is monitored. You know, if you notice, we'd have a blacklisting, either from Europe and then the UN. I mean, Europe. I notice you'd see where we get a blacklisting pop up from the United, the European nations. And then we get a little bling from the US talking about blacklisting. All right? I also want to state that the collapse, I feel, is not on the Bahamian public or the Bahamas on the whole. I think what has happened is that it was mismanagement, and also that FTX was hijacked by a rival company. That's what I feel. I feel that some of the employees decided to do their own personal, they got besides themselves instead of them sticking to what the company stood for and what the objective was. They decided to buy excess of property of over $500 million here in the Bahamas, which I think, and what upset many of the investors is the fact that Mr. Sam Bankman Fried, he was living in Albany, so this was like a slap to the faces of the many investors. And then also there was a partner company involved who had 20% shareholder in the company. You know, I'd be the last to get the information, but I'm reading. And this 20% shareholder was actually holding out, for stopping FTX from getting jurisdiction in certain countries, because every country, every Caribbean country has their jurisdiction, and you have to meet the demand so you could get regulated in these Caribbean countries and countries on the whole. So, there's some mix up with that. People buying on shares and had to buy back, spending about $2 to $3 billion, and this causes the collapse. It's no surprise to me.
it's no surprise to me with the crypto industry. You know, if you want to blame the Bahamas, how could you blame the Bahamas, man? We have the United States of America, FTX was sponsoring the NBA. You saw their initials and their flags all about in the NBA stadiums. We saw Tom Brady invest millions of dollars into FTX. We saw Shaquille O'Neal, who was now claiming that he was just a spokesperson. But since he was a spokesperson, many people invested in FTX because of Shaquille O'Neal. So they filed a lawsuit against Shaquille O'Neal for the collapse of FTX, you know. And I think most importantly, if we're going to say, you know, the Bahamas could have done more. But let me first explain something to the world and those who are listening. I could remember some 25, 30 years ago, there were hundreds of offshore banks in the Bahamas. And most companies around the world, you know, based on our financial sector, the Bahamas has a financial sector. I was listening to Graham a few years ago, 2 years, and he said the Bahamas is bringing in over $700 billion or $70 billion annually in the financial sector. I think $700 billion or $70 billion. I can't really remember exactly. But anyway, it could be anywhere in those figures. No, $70 billion and $700 billion is completely different numbers. But with the financial sector that the Bahamas is and where we're directly situated in the Caribbean and we're dollar for U.S., most countries in the world 25, 30 years ago was using the Bahamas as a tax-free haven in order to deduct taxes in their country. You know, people from France who didn't want to pay their taxes in France would normally find a bank or offshore bank in the Bahamas and transfer their funds here to the Bahamas. People from Russia, people from the U.S., people from Germany, people from all walks of different European countries would use the Bahamas as a way to deduct tax evasion in their country. I can remember this quite as day. And we had hundreds of offshore banks in the country. So when we see companies like FTX coming to the Bahamas, it's because of these previous transactions that we did 20, 30 years ago, where many people around the world, wealthy people who had businesses and wanted to deduct taxes in their country, they used the Bahamas as a way to deduct paying taxes, the right set of taxes in their country. And they would put their money here in the bank, and then we would use our banking industry to make sure their money is balanced off, and then we get something in return. And if you could remember quite clearly, you would see where, I think it was the president, I can't remember who it was, under Hubert Ingram, it was passed on from Lyndon. We had a lot of offshore banks. We had thousands of offshore banks, I think 1,000 offshore banks in Nassau, New Providence, especially on Bay Street and the Family Islands. Then after the blacklisting, because they found out that a lot of the European countries was using the Bahamas as a tax haven and they wanted to get their money, they passed this law where everything had to be regulated. In the process, we ended up closing down a lot of offshore banks in the country just to regulate to regulate the transfer of money from one account to the Bahamas. So they wanted to be regulated so that they could get paid. France wanted to find out a way how they could get their taxpayers funds from their citizens who was trying to come up with a strategy to avoid paying taxes in their country. So they came up with the idea of regulating many of these industries and companies in the country and to make sure that they monitor these companies. So it goes way back, okay? It goes way, way back. We must remember. It goes way back. Remember now, people, we had hundreds of offshore banks and we had the same similar problem, okay? Now with this year, it seems to be infighting with a particular shareholder and Mr. Bankman. You know, as far as I'm concerned, him being denied bail when he was presented before the chief magistrate. I don't think he's a flight risk.
I don't think he should have been denied bail. I don't think he's going to run nowhere. I think if he wanted to run, he could have run a long time ago. But where he's going to run? You know, he owes so many people. You know, where he's going to go? You know, I guess that the embarrassment now that, you know, it collapsed and many people have been affected. You know, like I said, Tom Brady has been affected. Shaquille O'Neal is being sued. You know, many NBA companies now are taking on the FTF logo. But if you look about a few months ago, you saw where FTX was just sponsoring wherever they went. And that's what you would call it. When you go in the country, you find charity and charity organization that needs help, and you give a little. Now, it could be a deceiving thing, you know, but it's a requirement that when you go in these countries that government asks, you know, and you want to show a good face, you know, like what FTX did when they came to the Bahamas. When they came to the Bahamas, they looked for a charity organization who was looking to help individuals in the inner city, the poor and needy. And what they did, they went and did their background check, and it was recommended to Lawrence Rule, singing pastor or prophet. And he, in turn, you know, you listen, when the collapse, you heard that it was mentioned that when he's given to charity, it was just circling there, that if FTX or the government or the U.S. is going to go at these individual organizations that helps the poor and needy, based on the fact that FTX gave a donation to various organizations, like pastor, singing prophet Lawrence Rhoad. And he, you know, he brought out this nice, beautiful song, FTX, the money gone. You know, he buy food, he buy coal, he buy juice, he buy water, and that's exactly where the funds went. As far as my partner organization, Lena Han, we receive a lump sum from FTX, because we are in the process of building a new state-of-the-art community center that is going to be beneficial to the educational progress of the kids in our community. We also have a senior citizen program that we help feed the senior citizen in the community. We also have a back-to-school. So there's many profitable programs in the Lennon organization. I think we have given $1 million from Mr. Beckman and his organization, FTX. These things are meant for good intention. Now, as far as saying FTX on the whole, I think they screwed up. I think some of the individuals, you know, struck with so much money, they start to do the unexpected as to, you know, her personal desires. You know, if you listen to what Mr. Beckman is saying, he is saying that some people sign some release papers for funds, and it was not him. And they're saying, you know, this and that. But like I said, you know, as far as him being remanded to prison, I don't think he should be remanded to prison. I think that, you know, we could put an ankle bracelet on him. The guy's not going to run, man. He ain't going to run. There's no place he could run, you know. And far as I can say, if anyone is to be held responsible. I heard the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, said that the government could do more. I understand what he is saying. You know, we had the Bahamas Security Commission, you know, which monitors our organization that comes in the country, you know. But it takes time because these companies, you know, they come to the Bahamas, they might be regulated, might not be regulated. You never know what the situation is. I listened to one gentleman, he's saying, you know, they don't like to regulate cryptocurrency companies because they don't trust it. It like hard collapse and et cetera. But the Bahamas Security Commission, they monitor these type of transaction and companies that come into the Bahamas. And what they did is they probably saw some irregularity in the process of FTX, and they seized the activities that FTX was doing here in the country. And we heard the Prime Minister speak when
he was informed by the minister, the minister, I forget, the minister and leader of opposition, the Honorable Michael Pintard, was stating that the government could have done more. Well, like I said, you know, when companies come to the Bahamas, they sit down and negotiate. I don't know if they negotiate under the PLP or FNM, but when they come in, you know, it's hard for you to detect if someone is going to do something wrong in the country. But many companies from around the world come to the Bahamas because they feel they could get away with a lot of stuff they couldn't get away with in the U.S. and Europe. So they come to the Bahamas, right? But again, you can't do business in the Bahamas unless you use a Bahamian law firm, right? For a company to come to the Bahamas, they have to have a Bahamian law firm that teach them the ropes about the regulatory system, how to get your license, who you need to talk to, where you get the permit from, how you get your citizenship. See, all these things you have to take into account. Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried, because these things would have had to come into effect in order for him to do business. So you have to look at his citizenship, residency, you have to look at his permit, you have to look at if he is registered, licensed, who law firm is representing him, what is this law firm, and et cetera. See, just go deep, you know? Like I said, they cannot do business in the country unless they have a law Bahamian law firm. And then they have to have some type of government contact in order for them to proceed with their FDX program here in the country. So let me bear in mind, it goes deep, okay? It goes very, very, very deep, very deep. Like I said, I don't think he should have been remanded in prison. And then, I was reading on the newspaper, and I saw, I don't want to call the judge's name, Mr. Bankman-Fried, Sam Bankman-Fried. He was in front of the judge, and, you know, judge cleared the courtroom. She asked him if he had any breakfast, you know. Well, quite a surprise, you know. He replied he had breakfast. I know the judge is a nice judge. You know, on that day, he was feeling real special. You know, we asked if when we are people who are rich and has money and they're presented, you know, we say they get special treatment. As far as Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried getting special treatment at the prison, at the court, of course, he got special treatment because the judge asked if he had breakfast. There are many other persons, young persons who went before the judge, and I guarantee she have never asked them if they have had breakfast, which is not a big deal. I can understand that this is an international matter, and the judge have to be lenient and show hospitality. But the same way you asked me this question about Mr. Sam Bankman, if he had breakfast, ask some of those young, fragile young men and young ladies who come before the court, who have nothing need, ask them the same question. As reference to him going to prison, I listened to the new acting commissioner of corrections, Mr. Clare, and he stated, you know, that he is being held in a cell, and I think he said with five persons, but I think they removed him and put him in a specific spot till they find some place to put him. Is he going to get special treatment? The guy is a billionaire. Of course, he got to get special treatment. Okay? Is he going to get a bed? Of course, he should get a bed because he is a billionaire. He's innocent until proven guilty. The prison that he is in now, if you look at the report by the U.S. Prison that visit the U.S. prison inspectors that visit the Bahamas Correctional Center,
correctional center stated that, you know, the prison is in horrible condition. So, you know, they have to provide the needs and necessary medication for Mr. Sam Bankman Fried. Because if they don't, and he gets sick, he can sue for liabilities for hell, being held in unsanitary conditions, you know. And this could take a whole new twist. So I guess right now, wherever you are, wherever he is, they're mopping, they're cleaning, they're spraying. You know, and it's good for the prisoners now. You know, I'm sure happy for those prisoners who are on the block with Mr. Sam Bankman, because I know they're going to be treating good, because, you know, he's in there and he's going to make sure to look out for those prisoners, because he's going to meet some people in there and he's going to understand some things. And this probably is going to put him, his mind in the right direction so that he can see for himself that, you know, if you make mistakes, this is what the mistakes is going to cost you. I think he's going to be a way better person just by being in prison, all right? I think that his experience up there, seeing those many behemoth young men up there in prison, going through their trials and tribulation, hearing their cries and et cetera, he don't want to go up there no more. You understand? So, yeah. No. So he's going to help a lot of young men up there. And then probably by him going up there, we're going to speed up the progress of the recent redevelopment programs that are going up by the prison. So this is a good thing. You know, as for him, you know, I'm really sorry that he is in prison here in the Bahamas. Like I said, I met him once at the ceremony through Lewis Creek. I talked to him for about 5 minutes. Seems to be a very nice guy. Seems to have the good intention. But like I said, sometimes things just happen, and we can't blame the Bahamas. If anyone to blame, you have to blame the United States federal financial sector. Okay? Yeah. And then, he's trying to apply for bail. I think he should get bail, you know, whenever he has a chance to go before the judge again. I think he should get bail, because I don't think he's going to run, you know. There's no place to run, you know. There's no place to run. Now, let me see what else I was going to say. Okay. And like I said, remember, we had the blacklisting going on in the Bahamas some 25 to 30 years ago. Always remember that, and I can remember this. And we had to close down all kind of offshore banking industries in the country. Many different banks that were offshore banks in the country got closed down because of them trying to duck tax evasion from their nation of nationality. And they would route their money from those various countries here to the Bahamas in order to deduct taxes in their country. So when their countries caught on to it, they started to label the Bahamas by blacklisting it in order for us to comply with rules and regulation on who is transferring their money here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Okay, so that's just my 2 cents on the whole scenario. Yeah. About the FTX. And like I said again, the donation that was given to charity organization should never be questioned, because these charity organizations that receive these funds are putting these funds to a good use. You know, Lawrence Rule was investing the funds into the food program. Denahan Bahamas is investing the funds in a state-of-the-art community center that is going to be very beneficial to the area, to the neighborhood residents, and to the community at large. Okay. Yeah. So last week, I'm going to finish that segment. I see my sister, she asked me if I'm all right. I'm all right, sis. I see Gifted Child is watching. I'm a sister again. So last week on the show, we were talking about Edmund Moxey and the late Sir Stafford Sands. And I talked about all of the small business that was available back 40, 50 years ago, and that we had no problem with unemployment in the community because there were so many different trades. And we had guys who were fixing TV, we had guys who was fixing cars, we had guys who were carpenters, masons, electrician, along with the trades, like, you know, all different type trades. And we had the fishing industry, we had the agriculture industry. You know, there were many trades here in the Bahamas, and we had many different companies, you know, that were doing canned products. We had many different canned good factories set up in the Bahamas, you know, all around. So there was many different trades in the country. So unemployment was not a thing back 40, 50 years ago, especially with trade. And if we watch what has happened over the last 50 years in the country, we are seeing a decline in small business acceleration in the country. What we have seen is a high increase in crime. Like right now, we are at 126. 127 is back in 2015, I guess. And I always stated that if we don't have a lot of small businesses available in the inner city community, then we're going to have a lot of people who wouldn't have a real future or wouldn't know where to start, you know, because in the community right now, there aren't many small businesses in the community. So many people right now are prying on one another, attacking one another, because they're frustrated and they don't have a future. I always remind people, you know, when you're riding around the inner city community and you look and you see an old person on the side of the road, and you see them on the side of the road laying down, and you know them from you were a little baby, and you wonder why they're in that position. Probably there's a person when they're younger, they had a nice job, but they never invested their money, spending time in a nightclub or gossip with people, or didn't put their priorities in the right place, or someone hurt them seriously that they gave up on life, you know, because we have a lot of good people out there who have done well in their life. But it takes one to break one heart, and that could kill that person from, you know, ever loving again, and that could destroy that person. We have many cases like that. Where we have persons out there who achieve their goal, having a host, get married, but then either their husband or their wife break their heart, and it was devastating to them, and they just give up on life, and they just give away their host, their car, and they just, you know, just has no ambitions, no more in life. Like, they just lose their mind. But there are many of us out there in the city community involved in crime, or like the gossip, or like to talk with people business, and we never focus on ourselves. And time passes, and then you see yourself, you know, when you reach a certain age, the community change. You know, you have a whole different generation of young people in the community, you know, and you can't coexist with them, you know, because they can't understand you and you can't understand them. Your time has passed, so, and then you don't have no future, so you end up sleeping on the side of the road or sleeping inside the old car, you know? And then you take a look at yourself and you say, man, you know, you don't have nothing. Then you just lose your mind, you know? So I'm encouraging people out there to don't do that, you know? Stop worrying about what people get. Start to focus on yourself, right? Start to understand that you're getting older. Things are going to be more expensive. You don't start to plan now for you and your family's future, your future. When you get the old age of 56 and you can't work no more, and you don't want to give you nothing because people say, you know, you had it and you messed it up and you ain't do nothing with your life. Now that ain't nothing working for you, just give up on life, and then you're going to suffer for the rest of your days, and that's what most of us are doing in this country. So that's why I have this show, a real life show, to encourage you guys out there to stop gossiping. Stop watching what other people get. Try to do something constructive with your own life and try to see yourself in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years in your house. You get your bank account, you're married, or you get your girlfriend, or you take care of your family, or you take care of your children, etc. You know, find yourself thinking like that instead of trying to pull down somebody. You understand? That's why you see a lot of these people around on the streets, like on the red light. All right. Let me give you a prime example. I have an uncle. Y'all might see him, Prince Brennan. He frequent. Everyone know him on Market Street, you'd see him by Beauty Bakery, sitting on in his wheelchair or all about. And he is a menace. And he completely give up on life. I don't care what talking to him or whatever the situation is. He have no intentions of ever living in a house or ever going in a toilet bowl. Okay? He ain't gonna ever use a toilet bowl. Okay? I think he'd die if he used a toilet bowl. Okay? I think he'd die if he go inside a house with a roof over it. I think he'd die. I think if we take my uncle right now and say we're going to take him and put a toilet bowl in a house and put him in a house, put roof on it, put TV in it, he'd die. He wouldn't even use the toilet. He would go right back outside and go on and try feces on the side of the road, excuse my language. That's just the mindset of the individual. And we have so many people going through that right now. It's because they have no future. No future plan, because you waste so much time worrying about other people. You know, work together who you can work with. You know, find something that you're passionate about and use that energy to try and push yourself, and don't get old. Huh? And you ain't get nothing. You know, so don't have a certain age, you don't have no roof over your head. You don't have no money in the bank. Your sons or daughter asking you for something or need roof, and you can't provide it because you're trying to still hustle for yourself. You're in survival mode. You ain't even have time to even check for your children. And this could cause your children to even go against you even more. And that's what happened in our society. You know, wake up, beaming people. You know, focus. You know, get in your small business. You know, if you're working, save some money and start a small business. You know, not everyone's going to get in business. You know, you're going to have good bosses who would help you, you know, if you was a good worker. You know, but be mindful, man, and push for greatness and strive for greatness. You know, because I see what's going on in this country. And if you guys out there don't push, hey, if you don't push, don't end up on the side of the road or end up in the car and be 50, 60 or in your own house or you ain't renting to own a house. You know, you waste your whole life. I know life is tough and hustling is hard, but set your mind in the right place. So let me tell you about what I was talking about when it comes to small businesses. I did a program in 2013 with the Office of the Prime Minister, with the IDB Bank. IDB Bank. The Sustainable Cities, the Office of the Prime Minister. And this was in 2012, 2013. And the whole objective of this program, it was to find ways on how we could tie in downtown Bay Street to Grandstand, Bantan, and places that are closest to Bay Street where we are on walking distance. And one of the ideas that came up was how we can get the tourists to come over the hill and spend American dollars in the inner city community, because the tourists them want to explore Nassau, New Providence. But there's no attraction over the hill, you know, like nightclubs or restaurants and green spaces and little tuck shops and et cetera and little barber shops. So what I get to realize is, if we look back in time with the late great Edmund Moxie and what he was able to accomplish in Jumbe Village, which is about 500 feet from where I am at Guardian Radio in Big Pond. And he was able to establish a small community where he would have Bahamian entrepreneurs who were gifted in trade. Horse, carts, people who can make souvenirs, wood carving, persons who were good in the music industry, and et cetera. So he put together a whole Bohemian, like calypso-like atmosphere. And he was able to get the tourists to live from Bay Street, way down in the inner city of Big Pond. And it was very successful. And Bohemians was making a living. And we lost that after he was denied access to continue with the project. It was eventually shut down. For what particular reason, I can't understand. And then over the hill, communities were shut down from the tourists coming over because of the drug pandemic that was taking place in the country in the early 80s. I could always remember that we had a lot of volume of tourists used to come over to East Street into the Capitol Theater, the cinema, to the Cat and Fiddle, and to also to the Airbnb homes that were around in the community. And when we were denied access to the customers, it resorted to not having people bringing in money in the community. We had a volume of people. Just say, according to the book, we had like about 1 million tourists used to come over to the inner city community when Bay Street shut down on 5. Because the agreement was between Edmund Moxey and the Stafford Sons was that, you know, let Bay Street make their money till 5 o'clock. The Stafford Sons were closed down Bay Street, all the shops. And then we'd open up the over the hill community and we would allow the tourists to come over and they would spend the night. Who would spend the night would be to various different theaters, Airbnb, at the various convenience stores, stopping to the barber shop, getting a haircut. So we had a volume of American currency around in these communities because I was a little boy. And we lost that. And by losing that, I remember it. So in 2012, I got a call from the office of the Prime Minister. At the time, the Prime Minister was the Honorable Perry Glasson Christie. Me and him were not on good terms because, you know, I was telling him, you know, if we could improve the urban renewal as to even more intense urban development. I'd want more. So anyway, I got a call from the office of the Prime Minister. There was these students who came from Vienna, Austria. They came to the Bahamas on behalf of the Bahamas government, and their job was to find and do some work on how they can tie in Bay Street with the overall initiative and ways to improve the unemployment, the housing, and the condition of the community. And we call it the final report. Okay? So let me just read something. All right. Where it going now? Okay. The Bahamas is creating a National Development Plan, NDP, Vision 2040, a new national vision for sustainable development in the country. The NDP is structured around 4 pillars: economy, governance, human capital, and the environment, built and natural. The proposal collaboration by the NASA Urban Design Lab feed into the NPC as a pilot project for urban redevelopment, not only for New Providence, but for all islands of the Bahamas. Working hand in hand, the IDB, the government of the Bahamas, and its partners envision a more vibrant, inclusive, and resilient place to live and work for Bahamians, both in Nassau and throughout the Family Islands. Both of these projects offer spaces for citizens to participate, engage, be heard, and to take ownership of the process. And in the case of emerging
on Sustainable Cities Program, ESC. This is done through the Urban Design Lab. The Urban Design Lab has offered an opportunity for residents and students to voice their concerns, opinions, and suggestions for how they would like to see the city and their communities develop in a more holistic and sustainable way. It has allowed the local college students to apply their learnings and propose tangible solutions, urban design solutions to the everyday problems that we face in Nassau. It was fostered a rich international academic and cultural exchange, something that these students from the College of the Bahamas and the University of Technology, Vienna, will likely carry with them as they continue their educational endeavors and professionalism development. Ultimately, it has allowed Nassauians to imagine a different future, one that is more vibrant, more resilient, and more exclusive. Well, 2013, this is the Urban Design Lab. I want people to look. You're on Facebook. I want you all to look. This is the Urban Design Lab. Punch it up. And you can see the plans and works now. It was done by the University of the Bahamas, the students from Vienna, Austria, myself, Rosemary Hanna, Yuli Voges, Nicole. Let me give some shout outs to some people. Nicole, Virgil Roll, Brent Lashley, Samantha Roll. Samantha Roll right now is the lady who's in charge of the small business development in the office of the prime minister. She's a wonderful and excellent lady to work with. I'm going to work with her more on this. We have many other people like Sarah Banton. Roland Krebs is the coordinator of the Urban Design. Roland Krebs is the coordinator for the Urban Design Lab, IDB, Washington, D.C. Let me see y'all. Nicole Virgil Roll, she was the director of economics, development, and planning at the office of the prime minister. All right? All right. Gilberto Chana, he was the lead specialist of the Urban Development, Economics, and Regional Coordinator of Emergence and Sustainable Cities Program, ECS, Housing and Urban Development Division, HCD, Climate Change and Sustainable Development, Inter-American Development Bank. Now, all of us, Salem Union Baptist Church was involved in this program. This program was designed on how we could tie in Bay Street to Nassau New Providence in order to create housing, create small businesses, create green spaces, how we're going to develop the cool sports, et cetera. So when we're talking with plans for the country, it has been already done from 2012, 2013. I got this book in 2015. We were supposed to start a pilot project in Grandstand where we were supposed to save $1.2 million from the ID Bank on a pilot project where we, in that community, we were to build community centers. We were to build a community center to train. We were to try build a little mini scrum market. Like if you watch the Old City Market, I made a proposal for the Old City Market. It's in this book too. That's why I want you guys to read the Nassau Urban Design Lab. It's in the book too. You can see where we had the Old City Market is going to be one of the major scrum markets. The Old City Market where one family has the John Canoe Russia, which just had a wonderful John Canoe Russia last night. Their last John Canoe Russia is going to be Monday. I want to thank Wayne 3579 for doing such a wonderful job of organizing that wonderful John Canoe Russia. But the Old City Market, right, would have been the depot where we would have numerous people who had trades in the tourism industry once they train in the hospitality industry, because we have to teach you hospitality. We have to teach you this is not a competition. We have to teach you you have to be at your best behavior at all times. You got to know how to talk to people. You got to know how to talk to your neighbors. You got to know how to talk to your coworkers, because we want an environment where it's a calm atmosphere
and the guests have a wonderful time, see how we as Bahamians get along with one another, not competing against one another and trying to fight down one another. And that would have been a perfect straw market to set up. And that would have been like for them to come over the hill and settle there. The buses would have stopped there. Then through the various corners, through Mason Addition, through Grandstand where I live, those roads where tourists would have walked, many of us who would have gone back to school with the centers that we were created in the community without the proper finances, with a small business loan, with the government, or with the private entity from the community center, we had the proper training to set up our own little small business. And I myself was going to the restaurant business. Someone else could go into the hair braiding business. Someone could go to the hair cutting business. Someone could go into the bakery. Someone could go into the local bar. Someone could go into A, B, and B. We're going to be able to pay the guys to keep the streets clean because all of us are making money, so we could pull our money together and keep the streets clean, okay? And if we get a volume of tourists to come over and stop at these various locations, tourist attractions, don't care how small they are, because the small things that we would probably not take serious, well, these Europeans, they take serious. You know, just sitting on, just having a particular spot, sitting on with just a with a nice tea stand and your little Wi-Fi can make money because they want to sit down and have a conversation under like a nap tree, you know, and with your little umbrella, and they getting a little Wi-Fi, they communicating with the residents in the area, you know, and it's just a little rest spot. You know, we could change the dynamics of our community, you know. So that's why I say, for me, with all the major investment the government is doing, I think that's great. But when I look at the $1.2 million that the government just paid for the cleaner program of the Ministry of Environment, which is a plus now, I'm not knocking nothing. But we have to say, we have to at least have a cleanup every month till we get this country cleaned up. You know, so it's going to be have to be more than $1.2 million. We're going to say like $20 million this year, $20 million next year. For 12 months, we're going to clean up. Every month, we're going to be cleaning up in these areas. Give people time for those who do not have a chance to put out the garbage, give them the opportunity to put out their garbage. All right? That's what we're going to do. As far as the small business development, I think we could do more with that. We need to invest more in that. As far as the urban renewal centers, I'm not knocking on them either. They're doing a wonderful job, but I think the urban renewal centers in the country is lacking the power it needs to really make a real difference and impact in these communities. Okay, because guys like myself who are in these communities can work more closely with these communities. We need some type of power. So we could say, you know, this is a abandoned house. I'm the community leader. This is an abandoned house in the community. There's high unemployment in the community. What can this house serve? Well, that house right there, if you think about it, well, we could say, you know what? We get some young ladies. We get the community center. Let's train them about money management. Let's teach them about hospitality. Let's teach them how to cooperate with one another. And we make that into a nail and a hair salon. And I guarantee you, when the tourists come to the community, after they come from my restaurant, we have it on the map. We can't get no customers because the Bahamian population don't have no funds. But with American guests coming from overseas, they bring in money from their economy on the cruise ship, and then that money can happen up walking in the innocent community. So now we have customers. So if the Bahamian people don't have no money like that, right, we bring the guests in our area. They're coming, visiting, and stopping to all the local spots in the community. And they're spending American dollars. And we got to get into the cryptocurrency also, you know, because a lot of our guests that come to the Bahamas uses cryptocurrency as we're speaking right now. So we also have to educate the cryptocurrency in the inner city community. And we have to be educated. So that's why the community center is so important with Lenahan Bahamas. In fact, FDX was going to teach the area residents at the center on how the cryptocurrency works, how the exchange works, and et cetera. So we can continue to encourage and add programs that are going to be beneficial to the community. So yes, urban renewal to me has to be funded more. There has a bigger budget. They're going to have to work with people like myself who are committed, not the money, but committed to who are plans for development. See, this NASA Urban Design Lab is a plan for the Bahamas. And right now, this government and the previous governments are working off the same plan right now in the same book ratio. This book costs $1.2 million. And this have all of the ideas on how to move the country forward when it comes to, say, what the inner city community need. You know, a lot of people would say, well, the community need this and community need that. But we prove it. We did the research. And we know what the community needs. And we know it can work. If we get guests to come from Bay Street, to come in our community, and spend American dollars and use their cryptocurrency, and we train properly and understand about the cryptocurrency. So when we exchange cards in our various restaurants, we do the swipe, or they have used their phone, we know what to do. Make sure it's legit. We could tell you, well, that is no good, because we would know, based on the training that we receive, about the cryptocurrency. Okay? Because, you know, it's a swipe card and et cetera, so we need to be training that also once we get into the tourism industry, because this is the 21st century. Okay? So that's what I'm saying, you know? And then, I say, going back, like, further in the inner city community. But people say, well, that's only for Grandstand and Bantan. Yeah, because we're the beginning. We're the gateway. Right? And we're closest to Bay Street. As far as going down the streets like the Ross Corner, the Gibbs Corner, the Wolf Road, what is going to happen is that people is going to have to learn of the pilot projects and start to implement the project so that it can reach them. Some it might not reach, because it might be too far for the tourists to come. But still, the fact is, if we could get funds coming in, you never know what is going to evolve in small businesses. Because once funds start to be created in the community, there are a lot of great ideas of small businesses that's going to come up, that is going to be very successful in the inner city community. Because once we get an influx of economy in the community, where we get money coming in the community, the money is going to be able to trickle down all the way to Wolf Road. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you look at Bay Street, if Bay Street makes $150 to $200 million a year, based on McDonald's, Kentucky, Burger King, the Scroll Market, the taxi drivers, the cruise ship and stuff like that, the guys who work in on the horse and carriage, so they're making American dollars. But yesterday, the shops down Bay Street alone, who got up about over 100 plus million, that money is sent to the bank, and that money leaves the country. The only set of money we as Bahamians get from the tourism ministry is the money that comes over the hill when the taxi driver gets paid from the tourists, when the horse and carriage driver get paid for carrying them on the tour, or when they go to McDonald's and they get tipped, or when the Bahamian people who serve the guests, the Tiki Hut, get tipped, or the money that makes from Tiki Hut, he pays them, and they bring the American money over the hill. You know, so if we look at $150 million economy, I'm just saying it could be way more than that. You know how much money I think comes over the hill, or the $150 million? I would say roughly about $2 to $3 million comes over the hill. The rest of the $140 some million goes out the country and goes to the various different banks that these companies are involved with. Just like the Chinese, when they got up American money, got up Indian money, they send it to the Chinese bank. So we're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. You got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good night, Scoot.
Good night, good night.
You know, big conversation, you know. You started talking about your uncle or your cousin.
Yeah, that's my uncle.
Right, and the young men in the inner city.
Yes, sir.
You know, who many of them become old and
they ain't get nothing.
I don't have nothing, you know. No, I put it to you that you know, I'm from the Nike area.
Nike?
You know, the Auckland Street.
I know that Nike.
No, them
Nike.
Boys is clear, no.
Yeah, I know all Nike boys, though.
Right. And up late, I mean, before they killed them out, them boys, that was a different breed. That was the killing breed, right?
Yeah.
But I said, I had to say, right, okay, you know, in that same neighborhood, right, you got young men. And also some of them betrayed. They don't have a house of their own.
Yes.
They living in their uncle house. The auntie there, these young men have children. The child going and somewhere else, and they don't have a house for them. They don't, you know.
These are struggles.
In this Bahamas.
This is a struggle we're facing right now.
Right. So many people don't have homes.
Mm-hmm. I notice. That's why I preach
it. This is the issue. See, our governments, especially the PLP, that's their name, they got to do different. I don't expect the FNM to do it because they call themselves national body, And they're national, and the progressive liberal party, they're progressive, you know. And then with this thing you're talking with the IDB, right?
Yeah.
My question to you, right? Government is continuous, right?
Yes.
So my question to you is the government of the day continuing the IDB program or that program?
Now listen. I'm going to say this like that. Just listen one second. See, they're slowly, surely but doing it. But me as an individual, my private sponsor, I'm doing this project. I already got a center. I already got an urban renewal there up in the community.
Right.
I already get my restaurant, and I get a couple of small businesses developing, and I've been doing a cleanup program for the last 3 years. So
right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, then. So I'm putting them on blast right now to show that these things are happening, even though they're supposed to be continuous. Our minutes came in power. See? But I'm just want to cut you. No, I don't want to cut you like that. You continue right now. I just want to show you. See, under Mr. Christie, it was passed, and Mr. Christie was getting ready to legislate it, but they lost the election. Now, when the Free National Movement came in, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, he came and he changed the name from the Urban Design Lab to the Urban Initiative, and he actually went away from what the actually program was. That's why he failed, and that's why he got what he got at the election board. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. You see, I hear what you're talking about, the Airbnb. That's a good thing.
That was wrong from the 40s.
That take the tourists out the White Man Hotel, out the foreign hotel, and bring them in your rooms.
Yes. Let me explain something.
My question to you,
you
know, we live in hurricane zone, right? And many of the homes and in the city, they don't belong to the people who live there.
Well,
the ones that belong to the people who live there, man, they get uncles and aunties, they loaded with adults. You know, my question is that, man, we need a real urban renewal where we spend big money, not no couple of million dollars.
Listen,
we need like $1 billion.
Nah, you get it. See,
billions.
Nah, you get it right now because I was going to talk about that when you hang up. But go ahead, you make a valid point.
We need hurricane-resistant buildings. We need buildings with 3 and 4 story, with schools and police stations and all these things and businesses and all of the like, whatever, factories and whatever we need to do.
Listen.
We need to do these things one block at a time, starting with that right around the capital, you know, where the capital is, the war and all them.
Hey.
Need to start from there one block at a time.
Listen. They ain't starting nowhere unless someone starts somewhere. So I ain't on no government to start nowhere. I ain't to what I could do right now, and that's what I do. Yes, they can fall suit.
You know, I beg you up on that, you know.
That's why
you don't realize you're the only show with the talk about the inner city and the issues of these poor people every day.
Because I am like the people out there. I am just like the people. I see it every day. I live in the inner city community. I still live in the inner city. I stay barefoot. I stay clean up. I stay working in the inner city community. My community, everyone sees me every day. People pass me every day because I know there's nowhere to run to. And inner city is inner city. If you don't try to do something.
Keep up the way.
Yes, sir.
You know, keep up the way. I know the inner city. And you know, the other day you talk about the prison and thing. Man, the prison and thing, you're still in shit bucket and thing, man.
Yes.
After this grace, a big deal with all them people. After this grace.
Yes.
No rehabilitation in the prison, no school in the prison, no access. You just go in that prison and even in got access to law books.
So you see?
No access to the library. Niggas don't remind can't even go to sell that foolishness.
So it's good that the young gentleman, FTX, is in prison now. Because now it's going to push the redevelopment of the prison up. Speedy.
You know, we're getting special treatment. That nigga in the hospital.
Well, they said it.
That's you and how them, that's what them politicians, when they go to jail, that's where they just go.
You,
90 North didn't even go there.
Huh?
90 North and the rest.
Yeah. You know,
they shit on 90 North, the rich behaving black man. Who do for his community?
Well,
even though he do that, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these people need to get real, man.
Listen, I agree with you. That's
you
why.
You know, the man go to jail in the United States. You know where he going?
Where he going?
He going to Rikers Island, mate.
Where he going?
Rikers Island, the worst jail. What? You think he, what? You see where he cases, where he charged in New York City, mate?
Huh? What
you think he going? And then he at the jail. That when he go to jail, I ain't talking about prison. He jail and thing, waiting trial and all them things. That's Rikers Island for him, buddy.
All right, but I know one thing. He is not going to be mistreated. Don't care where he go, because
but he don't need no special treatment for him.
Listen, you talking we don't need no special treatment for him?
No.
Why we need no special treatment for him?
Treatment for all them prisoners up
there.
The people, you know.
That's right.
The people ain't got no freedom. They locked down.
Hey.
They in jail. The people that treat their dogs better than they treat these humans, man.
I agree.
Man, I've been up there, you know. I know the time, you know, school.
Man, listen, brother. Listen. That's why I take the time out and I talk. And me and you being going back forward on all this. And that's why I give statistics. I give the names of poison in prison who have serious cases that face the court over and over and over. And I give reference. I poisoned all these niggas I could go from. My friend, David Mitchell. He got hanged in 2000. I could go from Simon Mushin McKenzie. I could go from Stephen Dye Stubbs. I could go from Scray. I could go from Timothy Cole. I could go from Alvaro Ferguson. All of these poisons. I tell you.
You know my area. You
so know
the
all
in
these,
my area.
So
was.
I. That's what,
Ivy and Hog move all them and things.
In Ivy, meaning in Ivy, before he went to the States, he was in the same cell in the Grove Police Station. All right.
Okay.
So I know Ivy poison. I Ivy. Ivy.
You see that by 52?
Who?
52.
Yeah.
Man, 50, I don't even 50 me 52 from there. Saying, but he's supposed to know me. I mean, serious and things.
Yeah, well, I
you understand what I'm
but
saying?
Anyway.
But you know, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying.
But anyway,
I've been to school with his brother and thing, and St. John's and all them type of thing. And
yeah,
I know 52 well.
All right then.
You understand? I mean, he's like a little junior, not much a junior to me, but you understand what I'm saying?
All right then.
But you understand me? We got to do, man, for these inner-city people, man.
Listen,
you know, whatever we could do, we do it.
Yeah, that's why I don't get enough time. See, I support
keep
him.
The pressure on these rich man and politicians and dang, man, who, you know. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah. See, for me, right, I don't like people coming around me talking. I hear talking, but I used to do all right? From the last 30 years of my time, I would spend my time talking to politicians and pastors about the situation concerning this country when it comes to housing, when it comes to crime. There shouldn't be no one in this country when it comes to crime. No one should be over me when it comes to crime. All right? Because I've been there. I've known all the guys who was involved in crime, and I trained so many guys who was involved in crime. So when I'm on this radio speaking, my words should be absolute. And I don't do it because I was involved in crime. I do it because, I know I can make a difference. Hope that the authorities who are listening make the changes necessary. You know, like second chance, small business, fixing the prison, okay? Repairing the homes, cleaning up the community, you know, teaching about business in schools, and et cetera. These are things that I put my time into because I know these are strategically the right initiative to put in place to counteract our poverty, crime, and what's going on in the country. You understand? Because this is the way I see it. And right now, the only way to do it is empowerment. And like the caller stated, I see the $1.2 million that the Minister of Environment received from the government of the Bahamas out of the budget, the 1.2. I think already, the caller said, if we're going to invest in small business, and housing, we have to say we're going to talk about these $500 million to $1 billion in a 4-year or 3-year period to see how we can develop these inner city communities. You understand? But I want to guarantee the people in who I'm talking to right now, I already did a national plan for the country, along with many other persons like the University of Bahamas, Rosemary Hanna, Yuli Wogas, Amanda Culston, Antonio Roberts, like I said, the IDB Bank, the Office of the Prime Minister, and all of us collaborated together, and we came up with a plan to empower the people to provide housing, you know, to provide green spaces, to provide small business loans, to tie in Bay Street with the cruise port to the Overdale community. And like I said, when Minnis got in power, he said the idea is his own. I don't know how the idea get his own, because he wasn't even around in 2012, 2013. He probably just getting to be opposition leader. When he won the election, and the name switch, I tell you all people, I was supposed to get a donation from the IDB Bank to start a pilot project in the book, to do these projects in the community. And then when Minnis got in, you know, he started off good, you know? Started off good, but then eventually he squared off and got nothing done, you know? And then put more pressure on the people. And then he changed the name from the Urban Design Lab to the Urban Initiative, and he spread it out too big. You know, you need a pilot project so that something you could see how it manifests and how it developed, you know? And like I said, I already called a community center working with Leonard Bombers. We got urban renewal in the community, right? Now we're working on tourist attraction for that community. So I'm working with some young men in the community, piece by bit, my private sponsors from the Seminette family. They're helping me piece by piece, you know? Because people want to see progress. So they support me little by little doing the small projects, you know, and I'm hoping to sit down and negotiate more and see if we can make even more progress, because I want to speed it up just a little bit, you understand, with community development. So I'm basically developing the community where we have some spots where we can get tourists to come over and grandstand and spend a few dollars so that money could trickle down and go into other communities. But we need to find a way how we can empower ourselves. And when the call to talk just now, we're going to invest billions in the redevelopment, you know, at 1.2 to clean up the streets and etc. That is unacceptable when we get major investments all around, you know, from different companies that are investing serious, you know, in the country. And it could triple down. We got to encourage people in this country to don't waste your life, all right? I want to encourage everyone who listens to the show. Time ain't waiting on nobody. You all see how fast these days going? All right? If you have a problem with your uncle and you all have a house or a family dispute going on with a house and no one using it, come on, man. You reason with one another and help one another. Don't just let the house go down the drain and et cetera. You could make it into something useful. You know, there are too many houses around the country that are owned by family members who don't like one another. They just let the house rotten. You know, there's so many things you can do. You could open your tennis store. You could open your TV store in these communities. You know, you could open a small convenience store. You know, you could do so much stuff, man, you know? Stop waiting on government and et cetera, you know, like what the government needs to do. You know, I had a hard time with government over the last few years, you know? So I started to do things off my own. You know, it's slow progress. So I give thanks to Mrs. Simon and his wife who just gave me small sponsors. And you know, little projects, you know, what I'm doing piece by piece, piece by piece, piece by piece. So I want to give thanks to Brent Simonette and his wife, Robin Simonette, you know, for their continued support over the years. And also to the support of Lennon, Lucas Metropolis, and the Melis family, and all the families that assist, the Dorset family that are assisting to make our community a better place, you know, so that we can see have a better country, you know. Because I really feel that we have the capability. You know, some people could open a phone store, ice cream, you know. But in these communities, you're going to have to help clean up your community, you know. So I'm encouraging people who own businesses around the country. You know, if you have a breakfast stall and you see there's trash across the road, you know, it wouldn't do you no harm just to go and clean it up and make sure that it stays clean up, you know. It might be an old abandoned car on the side of the restaurant or something. Or the yacht across from it, you know. Take your time on just cleaning up, man. You know? We got to clean up the bombs, man. Wait, say Twister. I see Don Twister being. Gonna take a break? Yeah, so I'm getting my producer saying we're gonna have to take a break on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9. So don't go nowhere. Be right back on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This coming Sunday on The Political Review with K. Quincy Parker, join us at 4 p.m. for a frank, wide-ranging, and open conversation with new British High Commissioner Tom Hartley. Following our chat with the High Commissioner, we have a real treat. We get into it with Raphael Ray Munnings. As usual, it'll be no lotion, no long talk. This time, it'll also be funky. I know it's corny, but hey, it's my show. I can be corny if I want to. Merry Christmas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent Bahamian people.
And good night. We are back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogie. And we were talking about FDX at the first half of the show. Then we went to the Urban Design Lab, which was done in 2012, 2013 under the Christie administration. Then was recently switched the name under Hubert Minnis to the Over the Initiative. And like I said, this was designed for the Bahamian people. I see a 357. I talked to you a little while ago. I went in on. Bless up, my brother. I did a wonderful job at One Family last night. You had a lot of fans up there last night at the One Family Junction Parade. I want to give a thumbs up to One 357 on for always, you know, being that community spirit-minded person, you know. And like I said, I'm looking at it this way. Why I'm saying these things about employment or empowerment. I live in the community. I've been living there for over 40-something years. And I've seen the good and the bad, and recognize bad as far as employment, okay? But I see a way on how we could get employment in these communities, all right? And one of the ways that Glad Norn is listening now. Now, Norn, you know we're close to Bay Street, and you guys are One Family Jungle Group. And we have guests that wants to come in the community. And I'm going to use Bapi for example. John Canoe is 12 months, right? We have guests, comes in our community. Could you imagine that we build a workshop for residents who are part of the group and we teach them on how to learn trades in the John Canoe industry? We have a volume of guests that comes in our community that ride you in taxis and buses as the country picks up again.
we have a high unemployment, right? But what if we can set up many stores all through the community? We have the Junkanoo Shacks, but along with the restaurant, the local bars, and we can create an atmosphere. We have different locations in the community. All is on the map, and we could have the tourists stopping through. And then guys who are good at their hands, you know, some guys good at making the Junkanoo dolls. Some guys are good at making Junkanoo artifacts on the whole and costumes. And then there are many tourists who come to the Bahamas who would like to wear a Junkanoo shirt. T-shirts are cheap, the city market. I mean, to the Chinese, or you could order boxes of shirts from the States at a very cheap price. And you can imagine, or you get some nice shirts and you paint them Junkanoo colors, you know, regular Junkanoo, just like a Junkanoo shirt or a Junkanoo pants, and tourists coming to the neighborhood and you displaying them. And, you know, you could say, well, look here, this is a Junkanoo pants. This is Andres. This is from Freeport or whatever family. And you put a name on it. I mean, the tourists come, you know, I like that. I love that. That's beautiful. They could buy that. That could be $50 or $100 pants and shirt together. Something that, you know, only costs, what, $15, $20 to buy at a cheap price. But then when you decorate it with a different Junkanoo colors, all these are things to attract tourists. Girls could also be involved in hair braiding, sort of. When they come to the community, we have different stops. We just need different stops in the community. And I think that the Junkanoo groups, especially the One Family, the Saxon, you know, they have an opportunity because we are so close to Bay Street. But we have to think of the box. And there's so much employment we could bring to the community because there's so much talented people in this community. You know, most people don't understand this. No, a lot of people of Haitian descent are involved in Junkanoo, in Mason Edition, in Grandstand, and in Bantan, the majority of the people. So they even adopt our culture and all. So what we need to do is find ways on how we can be able to make some money with the tourism ministry. And we could use the Sharks as a way to allow the tourists to come in our community, see our culture, and spend some few American dollars on the side of the streets. And that's what it's going to have to take. Because we can look at any other economy right now, it's not going to work for us. You know, because the money coming in the community, we can be able to spend on various different business. If someone wants a TV store down the road and we make some American money, we could spend the American money to those stores because we'd have an economy now, because we'd have volume of guests coming into the community. You know, there's so much taxi drivers that pass through the community, and all they do is pass, and the tourists just hit and take pictures. So I guess, like I always said, I must use a gorilla. Some of y'all is elephant, and some of y'all is lions, and some is chimpanzee, because that's all we used to be doing. And they just be riding through and they take a picture. But you imagine them stopping, having a conversation, sitting down, drinking a cup of tea, or someone up there doing it, set up with a hot dog stand, set up, and there's some kind of attraction there, and the tourist just sits down and talk and ask some questions with the community. And then down the road there, you know, I get my restaurant, then down the road there, someone has a bar, then down the road there, a lady, she do hair, she do nails, she's a nail technician, we have someone doing hair, and they're all working together. Some people could do pedicure, you know, some people could do Caucasian hair, you know, and then you have just a volume of places for the tourists to stop. And then we could be equipped till 5 o'clock, and then they could head back over there until we get ourselves together, where we could have them staying overnight in the Airbnb. But you have to start somewhere, you know. So I just like to say, you know, to our Junkanoo groups, I like for the leaders to understand that in these communities, we need to build workshops. Workshops that teach the kid on how to manufacture Junkanoo items, whether shirts, manufacture Junkanoo shirts and pants, as I said, Junkanoo costume, Junkanoo dolls, or anything that deals with Junkanoo. They should be on display in the community. And we should have a workshop, and then we should have a small business set up in these communities so that when you finish your workshop, you have a small business set up, and then you have a spot where we can help you build your small business, and also to help you keep that particular area clean. And you also work along with your neighbor who might be into hair braiding, and you all could keep that little spot nice and clean. But the Junkanoo loan of Mason, One Family, which is right on the brink of the hill, there's no way we can't create an economy, you know? So I like for the Sharks and owners that are One Family, the Saxons, Wooler, to think about finding an abandoned property in the community and build a workshop to teach about wood carving or trades that could benefit the community.
Okay, Non say, first of all, Valentino, we are senior guys in the community. We first up the clan, up the community from community activity. Now, you know, I've been working on that for a very long, long time, Non, in that community. And we are now to doing that with all the proper programs. We have the neighborhood watch. We have community centers being built. We know the guys who are doing crime in our community, Norm. You know, we know this stuff, and this is nothing for us to get rid of. Once we have the proper team put in place, and we have the proper mechanism to help deal with these guys, you know, because they need help. So we need to be able to empower. You understand? So definitely, Norm, you're correct, but crime is one of the main issues, and we have been dealing with that. And with all the work that we've done in the community now, I think it's time for us to move to the next step, because I see it now. Tourists are coming to the community every day now. And one or two bad apples, if we start to get ourselves together and organize ourselves, you think anyone's going to mess with the tourists coming in the community? In fact, Bayman Poisons don't attack tourists. We have a black-on-black crime in the country. All right? We have 100 murders. That's 100 black people get killed, not 100 tourists. You understand? We might have a few robberies and et cetera. But in our community, you know, we don't play that. We don't play rape. We don't play sexual abuse in our community. We police ourselves in these things, known in our community. We're going to take this last call.
Yeah, hello.
Good night.
Yeah, bless up. Bless the squeezy.
Yeah, you got about a minute.
Yeah, but you represent. I like what you're doing, but I like to know where your restaurant is. I know you're cooking all variety. But
yeah, I'm in the back of.
Come and support you, man.
Yeah,
I got a little poultry shop in the city.
See that?
So whatever you need, all the little seed them and things.
Yeah,
man,
I need some chairs, man. I gotta get a number.
Yeah, man, that's what I said.
That's why I need some chairs and stuff.
Yeah, but listen, man, excuse me. You know, I think we need to get together with this Black History thing, because I don't like how the black man is being stepped on and asked upon wherever, all over the world, right? And we showing sympathy. You know, the Bankman Fried guy looks like a nice guy, but, you know, then we have to start caring about our own people, and we should be contempt for us as
he's a good guy.
Within ourselves, right?
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to get this quick thing in, right? And maybe you might could correct me, because I'm not a jail specialist, but I know when I was there, the hospital was in Ramon. You go to Ramon and you go upstairs. I don't know how he could say being maximum being a sick mate. That in Ramon, not in maximum. You know, hospital in maximum. That's Ramon Center, man.
Yeah.
God bless up. So I don't know what they're talking about. Bless up. More time, though.
Yes.
We always get my number from Hollywood.
Yeah, liberate that from her. Yeah, and back to Norn. Norn say, outsiders kill the inner city community. And you're correct, Norn. Outsiders do kill the inner city community, but that's a lack of us as community leaders not working together as a team. And I think once we understand what's at stake, and we pull it together, no one, there's nothing we can't deal with. You understand? So I think that's what the biggest issue is. I think we just got to come to the conclusion and let's just push forward. And the outsiders that are coming to our community, we're going to regulate them. We're not going to let no outsiders just come in our community, set up shop without us knowing. You understand? We got the property organization set up in place. We have the neighborhood watch police. We have the urban renewal. We have the community leaders. And we can actually say, well, this is a hot spot. This person just coming to prison. We don't want them hanging up there. So we need police assistance to permanently be in that particular spot, because that's where this person hanging. And that's where they're doing illegal activities. And we don't want no illegal activities in this community, because we're dealing with legit. We're dealing with the tourism industry. So, yes, that's what it's all about. Yes. So that's what I'm saying, you know. We're going to invest multi-million dollars in the small business. And as far as I'm concerned, there are so many abandoned houses in the community. We're going to have to deal with those abandoned houses. I heard the Ministry of Environment, Juan Miller, speaking that the government with the $1.2 million is looking to purchase abandoned houses and turn it in the community centers. With $1.2 million, sir, that cannot work. I think you're going to have to set a budget in annually. You're going to have to ask for $20 to $50 million, Mr. Miller, if you want to buy houses in this community. And first of all, you're going to need persons who have ideas on what we're going to put in the community center and where we should put the community center and how the community center is going to benefit the community and how
who is going to be in charge of the community center? Is it going to be the government, or is it going to be community-minded persons who are dedicated to the development of the community? You understand? So I heard the Ministry of Environment saying they're going to be buying abandoned houses. And listen, if you listen to the Urban Design, NASA Urban Design book, I want you guys to read it. And this is for the Bahamian people, all right? This is the blueprint for the country's development when it comes to tying in Bay Street with the inner city community. It was released July 2016. All right, prepared for the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Central Nassau Urban Regeneration Plan. So when you're talking about regeneration, you're talking about the cruise port development, you're seeing the sidewalks, you're seeing all the sidewalks come down Bay Street, the sidewalks, all of that. All of that is part of the regeneration will be dead. Okay? I see Ms. Brown Eyes. I see you watching. Good night, Ms. Brown Eyes. I know you're awake. You're good in the, you told me you're good at wood, like wood carving. So Ms. Brown Eyes, you're going to be the one that when we finish this community center, that's going to teach the trading aspect of wood carving, making junkanoo dolls. I'll be more than happy to have you come in as an instructor, because this is the last thing I'm going to do for my community. I'm building a training center down on Lewis Street, besides Lenahan, to teach the guys some wood, making junkanoo dolls, woodwork, and et cetera. And then we're going to help them with the, get their small business in that respective community. This is the last thing I'm doing for my community. And this is the blueprint. Okay. Non saying, junkanoo can and will heal all those communities, socialists. Just look at the Crown junkanoo group pull out at the practice in the communities. Junkanoo is a tool for healing the communities. Like, I'm correct. Because it brings all people together. You understand? In the city community. And we need to benefit off it. You understand? There's so much talent in junkanoo. You know, guys are so talented, but we just need to make it as a business now. You know, we need to make it a business year-round so we can attract the tourists to come in these communities and stop in these taxi drivers and stop looking at us monkey and chimpanzee and zebras. We got to get them to stop. And like no one said, we have to keep on continuing to clean up the community. So I want to say thanks to my sponsors, Brent Simonette and his wife, the Melis family, Lenahan Bahamas, and many other people who assisted me, the Dorset family, who helped give the property for the development of the North Dorset and Community Center on Lewis Creek, you know, and hope we continue to get their support so we can make these things happen. So the funds I'm going to use is to help develop the new independent community center that will be teaching woodwork, art and craft, ping, and et cetera, so that we'll be able to attract tourists when they come visit our community. And we have these guys spread it. Once they finish their course, we try to get them a small business loan from either the government of the Bahamas or from our private sector and set them up in the community with a stall and continue to teach them about money management, about banking, about loans, and teach them what they should be saving up for to better themselves, you know, to get your house, to pay the loan, and to keep on saving and to make your life better. All right? So I hope you enjoy the show. No one saying keep up the good work. You too, my brother, no one. You keep up the good work. I want to say goodnight to my sister. Tonight. And I say, what's your name? Maxine Brown Eyes. Again. See you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9. FM. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next week. All right? So that's what I'm doing. NASA Urban Design Lab was designed 2012, 2013 to bring empowerment to the inner cities, not only here in the Bahamas, but also on the Family Island. Okay? So we just need to continue. And I'm going to continue to push. All right? So I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Respect, Norman.
Bus pick up in town, bro. Boy, I from Benton, bro. Bro. Right between West and Augusta.